thanks for tuning in to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Australian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, so we finished up the third round of the 2024 Formula One season, the Australian Grand Prix. Obviously, the first two races went very similar to how last season ended. So we were hoping for something different coming into this one.
Yeah, and I wasn't on the first couple of rounds. Happy to be here. Happy to be back for it.
Yes.
Martin, taking their respective spring breaks. I'm on spring break next week, so.
Nice.
Yeah. Just returned for today. So, people should know what they're talking about. None of this.
Yeah.
Ferrari fan.
Right. Yeah, seriously. Hating on Lewis. Like, you're about to have the best driver ever. Come on, guys. Mark's not excited, but that's okay.
I don't get it. Lewis is a great driver. Like, arguably the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I think so.
If any team should have to have him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so let's dive into this weekend. So early on, I mean, we won't touch much on practices, but cars were having trouble staying on the track. It was really windy and it was like the wind was moving around. So they were having trouble staying on track. Both the Mercedes had like gone off track in the very first practice. I think Alonso had a pretty big moment. But obviously the biggest moment was Williams and Alex Albon crashing out, totaling his car at the same spot where he crashed during the race last year. It was a little bit different of a it was like a different situation, but around turn six.
Okay. Back itself, but it totaled the car. I mean, it cracked, chassis cracked the tub. And for one reason or another, they only have two. I know they were trying, you know, it was a bit of a rush to get the car to Bahrain, Bahrain. But for all intents and purposes, I guess they only have three cars at this point. And they're only going to have two cars until after China. So the Japan China. So what they have here is all they've got. Two in two doesn't go, and you've got to pick which one goes in, right?
Yeah, I mean, a very tough situation. I go back and forth on my feelings on it. I mean, I understand why they made the decision they made, but it just feels wrong, you know?
Being there to provide the drivers with the car, or the drivers there to drive for the team, right?
And yeah,
it's always been the latter. Obviously, the drivers these days, you know, they're the most famous part of. We'll get vested in the drivers, but at the end of the day, it is a team sport. And if you've got one driver who is a better driver than the other, and one of them has to sit out, despite whose chassis it is, whose car it is. If you've got one car, you put your best guy in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just unfortunate that they weren't able to have the parts that they needed. I mean, James Val said, you know, this is not something that a team at this time should have to deal with, not having an extra chassis to put on a car in a situation like this.
Yeah. Martin was here. He'd be talking about the T car.
Yep.
He'd be talking about like how, you know, in Melbourne, right? If you go, and in fact, it was on the pre-race show, Martin and his massive shunt back in 96, 95, 96, whatever.
Yeah. Around there, yeah.
At the start, that's the corner. His car split in half. He was barrel rolling through the gravel. Ran up to Sid Watkins, the medical head at the time. Said, "I'm good," and he got in the spare car and started the race.
Yeah, awesome.
really cool. I mean, you get why they do it for the cost purposes and all that sort of stuff, but
sure.
If there was a first corner incident and they red flagged it, it would be really cool if someone could just get in the spare and didn't go on like they used to.
Yeah. And I believe I heard that they said that they did change the rules this season so that you could have like more of a completed third car, whereas last year there was kind of an issue with Williams where they had a situation where they had a crash and their car was potentially two made up beforehand, seeming like they had three cars, but apparently they've been like alleviated some of that so that they're able to have a more completed third car, so to speak. So, but that didn't matter for this situation.
Well, that's like this point when even if they had, Logan had to sit it out. I saw him in the garage on Saturday doing qualifying with
John.
I didn't see him today though. Did they show him at all? Were he there?
I didn't notice him. He must have been there.
Well,
they'd
have shown him. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Although we did have a lot of action early on, so but they did have plenty of time further on in the race where they could have shown him. So interesting. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he left early, went back, and got in the sim. Who knows? I mean, but the other big news, obviously, was Carlos Sainz coming back from his appendicitis. I mean, it was, 13 days ago he had surgery, and obviously he missed that race for Ollie Bearman to come in and have a great race, and that was an awesome story for at the time, but still awesome to see Carlos back in, and he was quick, fast. I mean, the Ferraris looked incredibly quick right from the jump.
Yeah, because one of the things that they've been working on this year was to have a car that's better side wind.
But yeah.
I think the fact that other people were going off and they were just consistently pretty quick sort of shows the work that they put in to kind of make their car just usable, drivable in all conditions.
Yeah.
That's a big win. If you can get a stable car in all conditions, then you can sometimes get one up on cars with a little bit more.
So that's really it from all the practice stuff. Let's just run through some of the qualifying things real quick. I mean, really the only big surprise, even though it wasn't really a surprise, was Danny being out in Q1. I mean, he did put in a time that was fast enough for him to get through, but it got deleted his last lap. He went wide on
top 10, I think. It was 10 time in Q1, which is plenty to get through. But you've got to stay on track.
Yeah.
And the Australian fans were not hugely thrilled that they had that time to reach in. But then you had one of the Hasses who thought they were out, and they said, stay in the car.
Yeah, right. So that stunk for Danny, who has been really getting destroyed by his teammate so far this season. You know, obviously we'll get into some more of that, you know, towards the end of the race, but I mean, qualifying wise, he's also getting destroyed.
Going into the weekend,
yeah,
you know, a lot of talk been, I don't know, it's not really been getting it done.
Yeah,
and you know, is it Yuki's really stepped up in game, or just, you know, you look at Danny Rick in the car last year, he was good to go.
Yeah,
and the car, is it that much different? I don't know, but
probably not.
He's not getting it done. Certainly haven't a couple of rounds.
Yeah, unfortunate for, he's obviously one of the most popular guys on the grid, but like you said, he's not stepping up. The other big surprise, I guess, was Lewis being eliminated in Q2, but he also was struggling all weekend. Both Mercedes were, but George had a better handle on it, as he's really been doing all season as well. He's been, had the upper hand this season. Lewis seems, I kind of said this last week, you weren't here, but Lewis seems very down on his team and just a little checked out and like ready for the move.
Yeah.
You know,
at this point, it's like he's, I don't know how many points behind. So he knows that it's not going to be a golden farewell season.
Yeah.
And so it's like, where's his motivation now? I hope to be, I hope that as the season progresses, he's, once things are out of reach and he's just kind of gotten, come to terms with the fact that it's going to be another max season, then you know, maybe he'll start enjoying it with no pressure on, and just be able to, yeah, right.
Yeah. Although that doesn't seem like his personality, you know. If he's not at the front, he seems pretty ticked off at everybody, unless he has, like, puts in a good race and gets a halfway decent result, but he wants to win, obviously. Still chasing that one championship, but probably not this year. And then another Max Paul, third in a row to start the season. I've picked Charles three times straight to take Paul on Coupes, and I thought that this was the one, and I was going to put Max, but the Ferraris just look so good. So I picked it again, and Max takes pole again. Nothing else really to say about him, right?
I mean, and especially when you look at during the practices and even during the first couple of sessions of qualifying.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't look like he was at one with the car. But then,
not at all.
With most. You know.
Yeah. He just puts that one lap in every single time. It's nuts. And then Sainz getting P2 to start the race. After everything, he's been in bed for 2 weeks, and he comes in and starts on the front row with Checo right behind him. But obviously, we find out later that Checo got a 3-spot grid penalty. I guess I didn't really realize it happening. Of course, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning our time, because I stupidly watched every single session live. So he impeded Hulkenberg during Q1, I believe, and that was what gave him the penalty.
Yeah, I tried to stay up and I watched the part of Q1 and that was on the couch, and then woke up just in time for Q3. Yeah, and by then Lewis without qualifying, and then just, you know, the inevitable with Matt.
Yep.
But then, yeah, like you said, great to see Carlos up there straight away coming off with surgery. Obviously, he's not been doing his normal preparation for the race.
Right.
And just, you know, it's not like he can be lifting weights and doing, you know, all his training routine, you know, because you see where they've got the big medicine ball and that, throwing that around and doing all that strength, which is really important. He obviously can't do any of that. So,
right.
Yeah, he's just kind of beat up in bed watching Netflix, I guess.
That's really it from anything during qualifying. The grid was, you know, a little bit spread out. Lando ended up getting pushed up to P3, and Oscar up to P5. So that was good for my McLaren guys. Charles was right in between those two, and then, you know, George and Checo behind them. Good for Yuki getting to start in the top 10. And then both the Astons behind them.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com. And the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's coopsf1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
I didn't hear why Joe started from the pit lane, but he did.
Front wing. So he changed his front wing, but it was a different spec wing. And so they had to take the car out of park for me. And that's why.
Oh, gotcha.
It could have been
interesting.
Same front wing, and they just bolted on a new one. I guess maybe he had a new spec thing coming into the weekend, and they just had like the same one they had at Jeddah or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
But it wasn't a consistent part with what had been on the car during qualifying. So anyway.
Right. And I guess he qualified P19, which was last for this race. So might as well just put the new spec on and give it a go when you're starting last.
Or maybe it was an experimental part and it made no difference to where he started anyway. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They had an interesting, I don't want to go too much into this, but on F1 TV, they did an interesting, Sam Collins did this like short 15-minute documentary about like the back wings that they have in Formula One now. And if you've noticed, like the part that opens up the DRS on some of the cars, they've got like interchangeable parts on either side of it. So, like, they don't have to take the whole rear wing off. They can just take off the ends and, like, change the shapes of it around the edge. I think it said McLaren has something like that, so that, you know, they don't have to go through taking that whole entire DRS part off and on and having to change that whole thing just to change how the wing angle is. Yep. They can just change the ends of it depending on which race that they're at, which was pretty fascinating.
If that was always the thing, if I mean, the front wing, you could just kind of dial it up, down with some hand spanners or whatever. But if you want to change the wheel, the rear wing, you have to take the whole thing off.
Right.
So all you could really do at a race weekend was to kind of change the front to make it more balanced. You couldn't add forth on really. You had to make the front and back slide at the same amount, you know, at the same rate, rather than having too much understeer or oversteer.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting. And then, so pretty much everybody started on mediums. Danny and Joe started on softs, and Fernando and Nico started on hard tires. I guess the only other thing from qualifying that we didn't talk about was that it seemed like at least over one lap on the tires, the mediums were actually performing better than the soft tires, at least during qualifying. It seemed like the soft tires kind of ramped up after they did a lap or so on them, which is weird because usually it's like fresh tires in qualifying trim, like that first lap is usually the best lap. But
it could then make that well, right?
Right. It was very, very strange how different it was. I've never seen that. So I guess that's why maybe some of the guys thought about starting on the hard tires, but it's weird that we see all three compounds, you know, used to start a race.
I'm like all three compounds on the grid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we at least knew that we were going to have some different strategies going down. So to start the race, it looked like Max and Carlos had, you know, relatively equal starts. I mean, Max was ahead a little bit, obviously, on the grid, so he was able to stay ahead at turn one, but fairly even between the two of them. So it stayed the same through that lap.
Yeah, I mean, we thought. I mean, there were no contact through turn one or through turn two.
Even right.
And to turn three, where in the past we've had probably Grosjean going over the top of someone.
Yeah. Grosjean crashed today.
Did he? I didn't see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely remember someone going over the top of maybe Felipe Massa or somewhere like that on turn three. There's usually something that happens. Yeah. But they all got really clean them.
Yeah. Not typical here, seeing a fully clean first lap, but that was nice. And then on the second lap with DRS, or I guess it was probably lap three, Carlos was able to take P1 back from Max. I mean, I can't, when's the last time we've seen that, like after a lap or so, where someone has come back at Max and taken the lead from him?
And I think it was at turn three on lap three where Max actually went wide on the exit, and that's where Carlos really got up behind him and followed him down to turn six, which is the last real corner, you know, now that they've taken out that the chicane.
Yeah, that chicane.
And so that's a real passing opportunity there now. You've got a lot of the DRS power coming down into turn nine. And yeah, Carlos made it stick, got by Max, which I can't remember the last time someone overtook Max on track.
Right. Yeah, that was amazing. And the crowd went nuts. The crowd went crazy when Max got overtaken. Everyone just wants to see him lose. That's it. And then shortly after that overtake happened, we hear Max on the radio start saying that he felt like something was up with the car, or he lost something in the car. Obviously, at the time, we weren't really sure if there was really anything serious going on or if he was just complaining that he ended up losing that spot. But obviously, not long after that, we learned, or we saw, smoke start billowing out of the back of his car. We weren't sure if it was an engine or the brakes, but then you see that his tire is on fire and explodes as he's going into the pit lane. It was very dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, it was really the start of lap five, I guess, when, so it's about a lap, just over a lap after he was overtaken. You just started seeing smoke coming out the back of the car, just ever so light, sort of light blue sort of smoke.
Yeah.
And then every
old school
couple of, yeah, next couple of corners you could see, but when you were looking at it from outside the car, you could see it wasn't coming out of the exhaust, it was coming out of the side.
Right.
And but then they show the camera looking out the back, and you could see the smoke was actually coming out of the brake. It's coming real hard. And so anyway, when he came in and he hit the brakes hard coming into the pit, a big cloud of black dirt and rubber, I guess, whatever brake dust is, the outside of the car, a pretty, like you said, dramatic end of this race. The first race he hasn't finished 2 full years.
Absolutely nuts.
It doesn't matter if Max happened at the very, very front, but you win it. You finish every race in a really strong car, and you're always going to be up there at the end of the year. But yeah, his last retirement was 2022 Australia, when they had the fuel pickup issue, those first couple of races of 2022, when everyone thought that it was Charles' year.
Right.
As Mark and Martin know, that turned around pretty quickly as soon as Red Bull started finishing races, and it just kept finishing races until this week. So it's really, once he was out, you could hear the excitement. You could feel the excitement build, and you could hear commentators' voices that, oh, actually, something's going to happen. It's not just going to be Matt going off and disappearing into the, into the distance. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So at that point, we've got Carlos in P1. And
Lando P2, Charles P3, and then Oscar right behind him.
Yeah,
I mean, how my mind would work at this moment. I was instantly like, McLaren's gonna win this race. I came, it didn't take long for me to realize that wasn't probably going to happen. But
I think that the way things look out over the next couple of laps, the next couple of laps was really defined a little further back, and so who was on what tire and what, who was running out of tires at that point. I mean, George Russell, once on lap 6 you've got the soft guys running.
So on lap 8 Lewis was the first one to come in from the soft tires. At least from the leaders. Maybe some of the guys that were further back that were on soft tires pit before that. Lewis was the first guy on soft tires that was near the top 10 that was, the first guy to pit. So yeah, even George, who was on medium tires, pit on lap 9 right after Lewis. The medium tires were going off early too.
Were he in like 5th at that point?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because that's really the point at which it's like, I think McLaren just said, bring Piastri in to cover George.
Right.
Thinking how to manage the strategy in front. Because as soon as they were, they were doing that, then that changed that whole dynamic within just McLaren. Obviously, at that point, when the McLaren guys were coming out, then I think Charles came in at the same time, right?
Yeah, Charles and Oscar both pit on the lap after George pit.
Yeah. So if I were Lando, I'd be like, well, gifts.
Yeah. I guess they were pretty far ahead. They kept those guys out quite a little bit longer after that. Sauber had another awful pit stop with Bottas again. Just awful from them.
Was it 53 seconds of pit stop last week or whatever?
Yeah. 53 or 54 or something like that.
So yeah, the announcers were like, some design issue. They basically designed the wheel hubs that cross thread nuts every time they try and put a wheel on it.
How does that happen?
Is it not a standard thread, and you just kind of you've been trying to do something cute and it failed really
to save 0.1 second of a pit stop, something crazy, and now they've ruined it all. I mean, any chance they have of moving up at all is now ruined because they can't do a pit stop.
Yeah.
I mean,
you've got to get the wheel on the car. I mean, like, don't over-engineer this.
Yeah. I mean, I heard someone say that they even were like, all right, we're going to take the pit stop slow a little bit so that, you know, we can make sure that we do it right. So it'll be like a 5-second pit stop, which is still bad, but not like atrocious, but they couldn't even handle that. So it still was like a 15 or 20 second pit stop because something like bounced off the car and over the pit lane. Like, it's just, they're a total disaster at that organization.
Spare wheel nut that they just had because they were cross-threading them all, so they got a spare one in their pocket just in case, but when he bent down, it fell out and rolled across the pit.
It's just so bad, so unfortunate for them. Let's see, and then Carlos is putting in crazy fast laps. He's already at lap 11. He's got a 4.5 second lead over Lando, and obviously the fastest lap of the race at this time. So he's looking really good early on to win again. I mean, he's the only other guy in the last 20 races before this race to win other than Max. So
yeah. I mean, and he got to the front and he's just running his own race at this point. You know,
yeah.
He's not in traffic, so he's not running in any dirty air. So his tires are probably holding up just a little bit better. He can make his own time and just let everything happen behind him.
Yeah.
Which no one else has been able to do over Max, because everyone's always had Max in front of him at this point.
Right. So it's looking at this point like the guys who started on the hard tires are in a good shape with how the deg is happening. It's looking like that's the best tire to be on. So Alonso was really benefiting most from that in P4 at the moment, and Nico up into P7. So that was awesome for them. Finally on lap 15, Lando and Checo come into pit from P2 and P3. And then obviously Lando comes in. I think he was like right behind Oscar, right? He got undercut by both Charles and Oscar ultimately.
Yeah. But the undercut was pretty strong here as well. So he was probably about 3 or 4 seconds behind Oscar when he came out.
Yeah.
From having been probably 6 seconds ahead. So just like in about 6 laps, he's 10 seconds back down the road. Obviously, early in your pit, the longer you've got to make the tires last. But still a little strange that they didn't. They must have thought that just that one lap, that first lap, if they pitted Pierre first, was going to be too much for, you know. So, anyway, yeah, came out from second to fourth.
Yeah. So that was not what he was hoping for, I'm sure. And then a couple laps later, Carlos pit from the lead. He did drop one spot behind Alonso, who is still on the hard tires that he started on. And then later in that lap, Lewis has some sort of engine failure or battery failure or something. His car just completely shut off. He tried to bring it back, but ultimately he had to pull off of the track before he got back to the pit stop, which brought out a virtual safety car, which might be the first virtual safety car we've had this season. We've had a couple regular ones. I can't remember a virtual one. Yeah.
I mean, I was watching the F2 race and they had virtual safety cars and safety cars over the place. I'm getting a bit confused. But yeah, no, I think this is the first virtual
car.
And it was a weird one. Just like you said engine failure, but it wasn't like the engine blew.
Right.
It didn't launch itself and kind of
over
the place. The whole thing just shut down. Now, I don't know whether that's just something that is, you know, the teams, because of obviously the engine limitations that they have, maybe they've just got this fail-safe in that if it comes to a full condition, it just shuts itself down so as it doesn't, you know, so it may be salvageable for something.
Right.
For parts or for whatever. But yeah, I mean, he was just driving along on his own and then it was done. It just stopped.
Yeah. But that I mean, he seemed pretty confident that something was messed up and it wasn't just like a weird glitchy electronic thing. Like something, he could feel something was bad happened. So, that was Max and Lewis, the only two out of the race at this moment. I mean, the last time we've seen that, you would turn this on and would have just expected that they crashed into each other, right? But, no, just two. Yeah, right, right. Just two retirements for some kind of technical issue. It's funny that we think of that when Max almost hit. Hit Lewis's head with the tire, because I was just watching like an early, I think it was 94 race, where Martin Brundle had some sort of big accident and a tire like hit the side of his head and his head like ricocheted back and forth. I was thinking, like, if they didn't have the halos back then, like that could have, you know, ended very badly. But yeah, both of them out of the race. Let's see. Fernando took advantage of pitting under the virtual safety car. So he got a little bit cheaper of a pit stop.
And he went to me. He was the guy who started on the hards and then he went on to him. And so at that point, he was on the quicker but less durable tire than everyone else. So, you know, kind of, especially having had a cheap pit stop, you kind of look at it and go, well, is he going to be able to make a move here? Is he going to come up a little bit and just make, you know, move up the track and then, you know, on the second pit stop when everyone goes on to back onto the hards, sort it out. But he didn't really seem to be able to challenge.
No.
On a slightly softer tire.
Yeah, I honestly thought they were going to go on to another pair of hard tires. I don't know what kind of availability they had, what tires they had available to them, but... with the way that the tires were going, I was kind of surprised that both him and Hulkenberg, who both started on the hard tire, went on to mediums, because I would have thought they would go on another pair of hard tires, take them as long as they can, and then jump on a soft tire at the very end and then do something there.
Yeah, because they weren't going to go to the end of the race on a set of hards, so they were going to have to pit again anyway. So why not do hard, soft, and hard, medium, and then... you're going onto that medium tire on a lower fuel load when the track's got more rubber down.
Yeah.
And it maybe it would hold up more. Yeah, I was a little surprised too.
Maybe they were expecting like another safety car to come out shortly and they would just switch back onto the hard tires, but still very strange. I guess they saw something that we would not have seen in the telemetry or whatever. So.
You know, they know what they're doing, and we don't.
Yeah. George just got passed by Checo, and then he said what Lewis had said earlier when Checo passed him, like, that car is a rocket ship. So we are kind of expecting to see, you know, from the way they were talking about it, that, like you said, Checo is going to start moving up the field. But then the field kind of spread out a bit.
Yeah, but quick on that. That's
yeah,
first time anyone. Well, it's the first time anyone's really seen a Red Bull up front.
You know, at least this year, yeah.
And then see just the rate at which, like, they exit the corner and just take off.
Right.
So I think, because before that, it's like they were at the front, they qualified one and two, and then just kind of disappeared off into the
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Charles was like the only one that's been up close enough to see them disappear for a lap or two, you know, and then they were gone. And then Checo got by Alonso fairly easily. Alonso didn't put up any kind of defense there, so then he was up into P5, so we were expecting him to kind of pull away too. But Fernando kind of stayed on him for a little bit. Fernando was able to stay on his tail, and he didn't really pull away like he did from the Mercedes's.
that was the point at which I was thinking Checo is just going to disappear off and then, you know, put pressure on, you know, get up closer than the McLaren's at that point.
I was a little nervous at that point. But a few laps after that, McLaren told Oscar to let Lando by, which was odd. I mean, in hindsight,
you know, he's tired by what, six laps newer?
Something like that.
And so, obviously, he got the tire advantage. It wasn't popular with the Australian crowd, though.
No. Not at all. I mean, obviously.
But then as soon as Lando got by, it's like, yeah, you started moving up the road.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem like it was... They didn't give him much time, it felt like. You know, maybe Oscar wasn't moving up fast enough, I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of weird decisions from teams this weekend.
Between, I remember it was like 4 seconds between Lando and Oscar, and then 4 seconds up to Charles.
Yeah.
That it stayed a gap, same gap to Charles. But Lando caught up those 4 seconds pretty quickly, and it's like, well, if you can't make up the ground to Charles, you've got to let Lando have a go. And you don't want wait too long. Then his tires are shot, and then any advantage that we've had to catch up with Charles would be gone.
Yeah. I guess so. We didn't ultimately catch up to him anyway, so why don't they just make him race, you know? Just make him pass him.
Yeah. But Oscar is going to be somewhat obedient and does what he's told, right?
Yep. Yeah, he's good like that.
Yeah, I mean...
He doesn't... No fuss.
Yeah. He's only going to be 8-2. Give him a couple of years and then he'll start going to get in the elbow there. A bit more and getting...
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah. He'll get there. And then Charles, I guess, like I said a little bit earlier, the field is very spread out now, so... we don't get much for a while. On lap 35, Charles is the first of the top 10 drivers to come in for their second stop. He came out right in front of Checo and Alonso, who were battling it out still. Alonso was like right behind him. But he was able to stay ahead and he pulled away fairly easily. And nothing really came to that. And then everyone started pitting. Checo pit on the next lap. And then Sauber had another slow pit stop in this race. So, 4 awful pit stops in 3 races.
Yeah.
It's just...
That's what we got to say about that.
Yeah, we've said enough on those guys.
You know what? Those long pit stops, they were talking about the wheel nuts and all of that, but something was happening to his right-hand side. So, someone was doing something over his right shoulder. And I couldn't see what it was, but I could see that they'd got like, you know, a handheld sort of drill type, you know, either there doing something. I don't know what it was.
Right. Like you said, just making it overcomplicated, I guess. They're just not able to figure it out. It's really, really, really embarrassing. Oscar was the next guy to actually make a pass. He passed Fernando on the inside of 12. Which was pretty crazy. I mean, I think Fernando went wide a little bit at like 9-10 there, and then Oscar was just able to get that move.
Yeah, it's not a place where you'd normally see someone pass.
Yeah.
That didn't, and they pretty much go straight into the pits at that point. But the pass
did it? Yeah. Worked. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But somewhere along the line, did the debris get shifted from right by the pit entrance? You kept seeing it, but then I don't know if it was still there at the end, or I'm sure someone would have had a puncture or something if they'd have gone over it. But bits of Max's car that stuck around on the track for the whole duration of the race.
Well, let's see. So everyone at this point has pit except for George. Oscar started putting in some fast laps. The McLarens had some good late race pace that they were kind of missing earlier on in the race. It was a little too little too late, kind of, though.
But then with George, it was the whole, well, he's got like 15 seconds accounting for like Checo and for Fernando, and then there's a good space of time behind that. So they're going, oh, well, are his tires going to last? You know, see through the graining.
Right.
And then George came on and he says, tires are feeling good, and then he pits the next lap. So.
Yeah, it's like Ferrari-esque from those guys.
Yeah. So it would have been worth him kind of doing that, but, you know, when everyone... We don't like to see people kind of seeing a race kind of make the tires last a little bit longer, or even much
right.
change, put tires on, and be actually going for it and trying to make up those 15 seconds, or
yeah.
whatever seconds that they lose from a pit.
Let's see. So Lando got fastest lap and was now under 4 seconds behind Charles with 12 laps to go. So it looked like it was, you know, possible, but he kind of stayed around that time for the rest of the race. It was kind of just like around 3.5 seconds. He was moving up and down from there a little bit, but
yeah,
he wasn't able to improve.
Yeah, no, I think the Ferrari was the fastest of the two cars.
Yeah,
this weekend, you know, it looked like Charles was going to be the one who had a chance to get on the front row, but it was actually Carlos that did. And it was never really that anyone thought, or that the McLarens really thought that they were really going to get up there. So yeah. when it's like that, you can kind of see, well, Charles is there, and just like Oscar couldn't make up the ground on Charles earlier on, Charles just better manage that gap again. You know, it was quick, but the Ferrari was just that little bit quicker. That all Charles needed to do was just, you know, give it a little bit extra
and, yeah.
you know, manage that gap, that 4 or 5 second gap behind. So,
absolutely. He was able to maintain that gap. And then Pierre got a 5 second penalty for crossing over the pit lane exit line too early, which he did earlier in the weekend too. You'd think he would have learned where the freaking line was.
Yeah, but the thing is that when they show the in-car, you can see this line, but then there's a spot.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
It's like where it's kind of painted dark, you know, over the, because it's a street right there, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when it covered the regular white line for the street and put a new line like 3 feet or 2 feet to its right, and when the sun is low, you can see that it's reflecting. I'm trying to make excuses for Pierre here, but it's no one else managed to do it, so you'd think that.
Yeah.
But one thing I did notice, especially on that the one today, was just how close to the corner that line.
Right.
Turn one, like coming out the pits, you've got a tighter line because spat out to the very inside line coming into that corner.
Yeah. I noticed that too. It goes like all the way up to the corner. It's crazy. It's a really long pit exit line. Maybe that's different because I don't feel like it was that long before. I didn't feel like they had to, like, right at the very start of the corner, they couldn't move to the left at all up until that point. It's like very, very long. I don't remember that at all. But unfortunate for Pierre. I mean, he was near the back anyway. So
yeah.
I think he was like second or third to last already. So
it is not a good car, is it?
No, it's just a huge downturn for Alpine coming into this season. It's just it's awful.
I mean, Oscar must be just rubbing their hands together again.
Yeah,
just at the right time.
Yeah. Then that was really it. We heard Carlos. Oh no! There was one more thing. There was one more thing. George, obviously at turn 6 on the very last lap, lost it kind of weirdly at first glance. It looked like he just lost it. Obviously, he was chasing Fernando trying to get one more place. And then we saw later on that Fernando potentially brake checked him. Obviously, the stewards felt that he did because he did ultimately get a penalty for it. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the decision from the stewards.
I'm not sure. Obviously, like George, I mean, on any that corner with the gravel there and the wall really comes across quite a lot.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of runoff right there. And you know, I watched the F2 race earlier. And Dennis Hauger, who was in the lead of the race. I mean, he pitted, and so he wasn't in the lead of the race, but technically was the leader of the race. Just
right.
He would stop on the harder tires, but still there. He came out of the pits and just got a little bit bogus there, coming around that same corner and went exactly the same way. It was a carbon copy accident. Although it was less of an impact against, but it still, he ended up in pretty much the same spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I saw that, I was like, oh man, maybe his rear tires were just giving up a little bit and he just got a bit of oversteer. But then, when you saw the in car, it was, I'm not going to say that he brake tested him, but Fernando came off the gas quite a bit.
For sure.
I mean, when you read what he said, what he tweeted later, which is slightly different from what he said in the press pen as well, which sort of is a bit, maybe he's had a bit too much, he's had some time to think up a little bit.
Right.
Was that he was, sacrificing a bit of entry to get a better exit. you kind of do, but it's like, not when there's someone half a second behind you.
Right.
You can call it. So I don't think there was anything malicious in it. I think it was just that he was a bit erratic.
Yeah.
And did that just take a bit of air off George's front wing?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that the closing up kind of caused that accident in a way, because George was like, he didn't react, try and swerve or do anything.
Right.
Would say that he was shocked that Fernando was kind of, he was closing on Fernando just that little bit, 100 yards, 100 feet, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed a bit odd. I mean, he got a post race drive through. So I guess they say it's a drive through penalty for that, but that if you were to do that in the race, but it was 20 seconds.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
In, added on to the top because it was last one left. Now I did hear a little bit of in car from George, because the way that his car came to a stop, his wheels had come off, but they were still on the tether and they got wedged underneath the car. So he was facing down the back, upside, on its side. So he did not see anyone coming. He didn't know. You could hear the panic in his voice. He was shouting, radio, pull a red flag, red flag, red flag. I'm in the middle of the track.
Yeah.
In his voice, he was like half expecting someone to just spear him.
Yeah. But they did not call a red flag.
myself.
Yeah.
Just because he was right there in the middle of the track.
Yeah.
Breaks in line. So. But they called it a virtual safety car. I mean, at that point in the race, a full safety car wouldn't have got out there anyway.
No, it was the very last lap. Yeah. So,
I mean, also, if it had been red flagged, it would take it back to the prior sector, right? In which case, he was still.
We would have had another. Would we have had another one lap showdown? No, probably not.
I think they red flagged it and called it because it was, anyway. But no, I mean, got out of the car, he was fine.
Thankfully, he was fine.
Yeah,
but
this maybe needed a change of trousers.
But we got a non-Max winner to a race, Carlos. We didn't talk about him much, obviously, because he was dominant during this race, and then a Ferrari 1-2,
which is nice.
Yeah, nice to see someone else.
It's hilarious that Mark and Martin, that the two Ferrari fans of the four of us, they're not here to celebrate a Ferrari 1-2. So we,
I know,
take a moment for them to just bask in the Ferrari 1-2.
Yes. And then congrats, guys.
So that was nice.
Yeah. What else did we get? Lando got his 14th podium of his career. Now, I'm not sure if he is now the sole owner of this record or if he is tied in this record, but he now has the most podiums, or tied for the most podiums, to not have a race win.
Yeah, with Nick Hulkenberg.
Nick Heidfeld, yeah.
And I don't know if he's equal to Nick Heidfeld or if he's exceeded Nick Heidfeld. But that's not a record you want. It's
no.
Hulkenberg. Nick Hulkenberg, right. The most F1 starts without a podium. Now, obviously, he's in a Haas, so podiums are somewhat unlikely.
But right.
Just keeps adding to that record. And, but you know, when you think about how close he's come, it gotta happen.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Maybe we'll, maybe this is the Red Bull armor. Maybe we'll see some more of this.
Too aggressive on the packaging, and these things might happen. I don't know. I think we're naive to say that, but we can be optimistic and hopeful.
Yeah,
somewhat naive. But you know, there are going to be tracks which are McLaren type tracks. You know, Lando was saying in the press pen, they really struggle on the low speed corners.
That's right, yeah.
So when you get to somewhere
Monaco.
There's no set for them. But Spa they should do well. Monza they should do well. Silverstone's always been a good track. Like, you know, the last corner is a little tight. But other than that, it's pretty sort of,
yeah,
in that strong meaning. Suzuka could be good for them. Obviously, the last game at Suzuka where it slowed down, but you know, they may do well, pretty well there, you know, next time out.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Season to be hopeful.
Yeah. So obviously, the Ferraris and Carlos specifically are winners on the weekend. McLaren, you know, I mean, with how it all turned out, that's a great result for them. What, P3 and P4 finishing?
Yeah. I mean,
that is.
You think that if they're the third fastest car, you know, 5 and 6 is where they think they are. Then
yeah.
Max went out, Deco move up through the field like we all thought he would.
Right.
You know. They could be happy with that, even though he started third, he finished third, Charles got by him. If they'd have done the strategy differently, would that track position have held and he'd still be there in second? Yeah. But I think at this point, it's like, if it's not a win, then it's second, it's third, doesn't really matter. You're still on the podium, right?
Right.
Maybe on the podium. Yeah. Second's great, but still not first. Third,
yeah.
You're happy to be on the podium. So,
yeah.
Reasonably pleased with today's effort down in McLaren.
Yeah, absolutely. Yuki, I mean, he's just, like we said earlier, he's been dominant in the team, at least. Just really outperforming Danny.
Really getting the job done. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how he does next time out again. Gonna Suzuka. Race for Yuki. Home races, you either... They either motivate you and you outperform, or it's added.
You do what Danny did.
That you like. Daniel Ricciardo has never really been great at home. Felipe Massa was never really. I mean, he did okay. He won he won at home, didn't he? He won that last race in 2008. Sorry. But Rubens Barrichello famously never did anything in Brazil.
Yeah.
So. You know, I can't really think of how Yuki's gone in Japan, but he's on the vein of form that, you know, if he's going to get motivated by Japan, then, you know, he could be well into the points again.
Yeah. And I guess Danny did technically stand on a podium in Australia. He just got taken away from him later on, right? His first race in Australia?
I don't know what.
Or his first race at Red Bull in Australia.
Oh, really? I know he came fourth one.
He got second place, and then he got disqualified after the podium. Like, he stood on the podium for the celebration.
All right, well, sir. Yeah.
And then Haas, double points, scoring points again.
They were in line for 1 point, and then they got 3 points with George's accident. But then, fortunately, for all of their efforts at Williams to try and, you know, you know, they put Albon in the car to try and get the point, came up one short in 11th. But he was battling those Haas cars throughout. And I think it was only really quite late that he lost out to Magnussen, right? Hulk finished Magnussen and Magnussen 10th, right? So yeah, unfortunate. It was only just a few laps before the end that they came away pointless, unfortunately.
He has to give up the corner. I had to nose ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Australian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen, and we'll see you next time for our review of the 2024 Japanese Grand Prix at Suzuka.